All right, look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land, underline, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle, meaning that you're going to have to fight for every inch of land you get. And you and I fight not with natural weapons, but with the weapon of faith. We fight the good fight of faith. And verse 25, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. That we're going to fight the good fight of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're going to go into this land and we're going to take back what was stolen. So what is God doing? God wants to restore this earth back to him and the people who are supposed to have it. And so he's just continuing where Adam left off in the garden before he sinned. And we said it's a type of jubilee. And jubilee is restoring things back to their rightful owners. Praise God. All right, so as we look at this, we're saying that this idea of the blessing is something that that was started over in the Garden of Eden, started with God, and God creating the heavens and the earth. And the blessing itself is a name that the scripture has named the power that created all of this. It's called the blessing. It's a superior power that God released that brought all matter into being. Now that's important because what he's doing now is he's placing this blessing on us, the believers. And this blessing comes on us, and once it comes on you, it is designed to immediately affect every area of your life. Can you say amen again to that? Now, the blessing was on the people in the Old Testament. But I got good news for you. The blessing is not only on us, it's in us. And the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And the NIV translation says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So the days of your toiling are over. If you remember Peter going fishing, he had been on the shoreline listening. He had been fishing all night, and now he's washing his net. And Jesus was preaching on the shoreline, and because they were pushing on him, so he got into a boat. He asked to use Peter's boat. And what I want you to see in that is that Jesus was teaching the blessing. And that's what he was teaching, because that had been lost. And as a result of that, this blessing was now being restored back to the people of the earth. Now in John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus was talking about him. And he said that, believe ye thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Though the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Notice where the Father dwells. In him. The blessed one is in him. And then he says in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what else? Greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. So let's look at the beginning. Over in Genesis in chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So now in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and sea, over the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, this blessing that came on Adam is seen in its fullness. In other words, if you want to know how powerful the blessing is, just look at the curse. When Adam sinned in the third chapter of Genesis, and they disobeyed God and sinned, then that's when the curse entered. And notice what everything happened. Everything turned upside down. Where the lamb now would normally lie down with the lion, that couldn't happen anymore. Lion will eat him up. Notice had storms and every kind of other thing that started in the earth because of the curse. And this curse is now still operating in the earth. Even though Jesus came, he didn't take away the curse in the earth, but he took away the ability of the curse to operate in you, upon you, and wherever you go. Glory to God. So he said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Notice, he redeemed us from the curse. The curse is still in the earth, but he redeemed. So what is mankind trying to do? Normally mankind now is trying to fight this curse. I mean, you see all this, the stuff that's going on in the earth right now, that's all a part of the curse. And wherever Jesus went, Jesus eliminated the curse and brought in the blessing. And you know, when Jesus went for a healing meeting, how many did he heal? He healed them all. Why? Because he was making heaven come back to earth. You see, Garden of Eden was a type of heaven, and wherever Jesus went, that's where he was going to transform it into the Garden of Eden. And that's still our mandate today. Glory to God. We're supposed to transform some stuff out here. Say amen to that. Now, in this, God wants us again to replenish the earth. And how we're going to do that is do it with a blessing. Now, this word replenish again means to perpetually renew and resupply it. It means to recover former fullness, recover former fullness. It means to bring it back to where it was before. So this idea of replenishing things is very important, because you and I have the blessing to do that. What people are trying to do is do it without the blessing. They're trying to do it with some natural knowledge in the wisdom of men. But the wisdom of men, once you fix something else breaks. They tell you, don't, you know, take this medication, but understand it's going to cause heart attacks, you're going to go blind, so forth and so on. Because it's still dealing with the wisdom of men. But God's blessing has no side effects. That it has no aftertaste. It has no, yeah. And so as we deal with this blessing, it is part of our inheritance. That means that if you get it, you're going to have to take it. And if you look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, so it talks about that. It says over here in that I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, if you look at that and examine each one of them is a whole series. But if you examine each one of them, you'll see that they cover every aspect of life, all right? Including blessing. Notice there's no S on that, because he's not talking about blessings. Blessings are houses, cars, healings, deliverance, whatever have you. But we're talking about the blessing, which is the thing that causes the blessings to come to pass. So what is the blessing? It is coming from the word, we said, the word barakah, which is the blessing. And we said it comes from the Hebrew word, root word, barak. We've heard it in a president or some Hebrew. But it means the empowerment for success, for success. So this barak, or blessing, or bless, it's supernatural provision. It's supernatural fruitfulness. It's supernatural increase and finance, supernatural protection, supernatural health, and supernatural favor, promotion, supernatural business savvy, supernatural. So it immediately brings your life into another status when the blessing is on you. Now, the blessing is meant for the firstborn. In other words, there's not but one blessing. And that blessing you have to receive by faith. Now, let me just show you that real quick. Just, if you will, go over with me to Hebrews and chapter 11 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. All right, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, if you look there, he is saying here that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, here's a problem with that. God, the blessing passed to the firstborn. Now, what will help you? Because you need a mindset of blessing. You need a mindset of the fact that the blessing is a superior consciousness, glory to God, of the fact that everything is subject to that blessing. And so to get this mindset, sometimes you need to put a capital B, if you're writing in English, put a capital B, capitalize it, so you'll know you're not talking about, hey, brother, bless you now. Yeah. Oh, y'all going on a trip? Well, God bless you. See, we've thrown it around so until it has no power, because we have lost the revelation, not us, but we had lost the revelation of the blessing. Now, it's just like the name of Jesus. Right now, people will drop something on the ground and say, oh, Jesus. Well, now, wait a minute. That is the same name that's above every name, that when you call that name, demons tremble. Now, but in Acts chapter 3, Peter said, when the man got healed by the words of Peter speaking over the man got healed and he had never walked before. And then Peter said, why look so earnestly on us, that through our own name that we cause these things, our own holiness, we cause these things to happen. But his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole. So when you use the blood and plead the blood so Satan can't step across the bloodline, you got to have faith in the pleading of the blood. Say amen to that. When you use the word of God and get the devil to move according to the word of God, you've got to have faith in what you just spoke. Say amen to that. The centurion said, you don't need to come to the house. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Because when Jesus released it, he released it with faith. So I'm saying the same thing about the blessing. We have so traditionally used it, and it's been so lost in terms of its revelation, until now when you say the blessing, it doesn't have any power. But when Jacob was blessed of Esau, of Isaac, his father, then that blessing was transferred. Now, I want you to see this whole idea about the firstborn. Because this firstborn thing is a key. Now, if you look at Hebrews first and verse chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, look at this. Because the blessing is only for the firstborn. And look at Hebrews chapter 12, all right? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, I think you've got the scriptures back there. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels. How many are they? Innumerable company. It's without number. So you got angels without number on the staff of God. Look, to the general assembly in the church of the who? Firstborn, which is written in heaven. Now, the church of the who? Firstborn. The church of the who? Firstborn. Look at Colossians now, chapter 1. Another Colossians 1 and verse 16. And he says this. The scriptures are back there. Please just praise God. Save me time. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Who is that? Jesus. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Keep going. And he is the head of the body. The who? Church. Who is the beginning of the what? Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So notice, Jesus is the head of the church. He is the firstborn. And the blessing comes on the firstborn. Well, how did you get the blessing? You, any man that is in Christ is a new creature. So once you come in Christ, that same blessing that's on the head is on the body. You don't come, go downtown, and you maybe see me downtown and come back and tell your cousin, I saw Bill Winston's head downtown yesterday. Head, you didn't know. I was sitting in the car, and my body was attached to my head. So I'm saying wherever you see the head, the body has got to be there. All right, now. The reason why I'm saying that is because you and I were blessed. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, that's talking about Jesus. He died for you and I. I said, Jesus died for you and I. He hung on a tree. And if you go back to Deuteronomy, you'll see that the law was written that any king that you get and you take over his nation and you hang the king on a tree, that all the sins of the nation go into the king. And once they go into the king, make sure you take him down by night. If the sun comes down and he's not taken down and left up there all night, the curse will come back out on the land. So that's why Jesus had to be taken down before nightfall, because he is the king. The inscription was written over his head. This man was a king of the Jews. And so the Jews tried to get Pilate in them to take that down. He said, no, what I have written, I have written. And see, Jesus had to be hung on the cross by the high priest. See, only the high priest could sacrifice the lamb. And so the high priest had to let him go. But notice, Jesus was caught, and there were two thieves, and glory to God. I'm not going to go out. That's not my lesson right now. But my point to you is that once you come into Christ, whatever he got, you got. Meaning that when he was on the cross, God saw you on the cross. When he was buried, God saw you buried. Come on. When he rose from the dead, God saw you raised. And when he's seated at the right hand of the power, God sees you seated. So God sees you healed. God sees you delivered. God sees you saved. God sees you rich. God sees you delivered and blessed. I'm just saying, whatever he got, you got. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 says this. It's kind of an interesting scripture. He said this. It says, glory to God. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So what he got, you got. All right. So with that, we are now in Christ. So if you're not saved, you're not blessed. Now understand, the Bible says God will make the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. In other words, you can plant a flower and get the sun to shine and grow. You can do things. But as far as being delivered from the curse, that is reserved for his people and who his people will be sent to. Say amen. But if somebody's not saved, they can get saved today. Because once you're saved, everything changes. The kingdom of God comes in your life and your life will never be the same. Say amen to that. So the blessing comes on your life when you get born again. But the blessing that comes on your life when you get born again cannot be turned back. It cannot be rescinded. It cannot be taken back. Now, all that we saw when we looked over here in Genesis, and Genesis, glory to God, and Genesis chapter 25. And in Genesis chapter 25, glory to God, and that's, is that the right scripture? Genesis chapter 25 and verse 5, we saw Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. That means he passed on the blessing. But now Isaac now has got to pass it on to Jacob. Because now Isaac is getting to the end of his years. How long did Isaac live? I think he lived 185 years. That's pretty good life, I would say. Well, the blessing is designed to give you longevity. Say amen to that. You are not supposed to live a short life. And get this, even when you live long, you're supposed to live long and strong. So he said in 25 of Genesis, and it says in verse 29, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name, for his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So you're the firstborn, Esau, sell me your birthright, that blessing. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of death, about to die. And what profit shall this birthright be to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau a bread and pottage and lentils, and he did set and drink, and rose up and went his way. And Esau did what? He despised the blessing. In other words, he didn't value it. Well, God bless you, brother. Hey, praise God. God bless you. Hey. Okay, but do you value the blessing? Because if you don't value the blessing there, you won't value it on you. And so what happened now is, of course, his mother said, wait a minute, I heard that, you know, that your father's about to bless the firstborn, so why don't you sneak in there and do this? Now, his mother, his name was Rebecca. We call her Becky. And so now, Becky said, go on in there and do this and so forth. So that is exactly what he did. And look what he did in Genesis chapter 27 now and verse, come on down and verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Verse 28, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord of thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curse you, and blessed be everyone that bless you. He goes out. Once he blesses him, notice he didn't have a lawyer there. Notice he didn't have any kind of scribe there or secretary or court reporter. Notice he didn't have any kind of witnesses there. The only thing he had there was him and Jacob. And notice what he did. He passed it on to him. Now, how did he pass it on to him? By what? By faith. Say faith. Faith. Say faith. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that this book says that Christ has redeemed you from the curse, being made a curse for you, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham shall come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. So how are you going to have to receive it? through faith. And look at verse 29 in that same chapter. And if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed, and what? Heirs according to the promise. So what God promised Abraham, he is also promising you. Say amen to that. Now, so if that be me and I got the blessing on my life, why don't I start acting like it? Why isn't the blessing kicking in? Why isn't the blessing manifesting in my life? Well, that's where you got to go back to a man named Joseph. Now, before I get there, let's go to it. Praise God. But let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, just before we go to Joseph. Look at God speaking now to Abraham. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Come on. From thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. Let me put it in my own words. Get out from around home girl and homeboy and stop borrowing money from your mama and stop. Come on, come on. I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help you. See, he is saying, wait a minute. If you want this blessing to kick in, you've got to see God as your only source. You've got to stop looking to people for a handout and begging somebody to do something for you. Say amen. And notice what God said next in verse 2. He said, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name what? Great. And thou shalt be a what? Blessing. Stop right there. And I will bless you. 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 Now, if he's saying it to Abraham, he's saying it to you. You don't need any court reporter. You don't need any scribe, no lawyer. You don't need Bill Winston. All you need to know is this in the Word of God? Is this in the Word of God? Because if it's in the Word of God, everything in my life from this day should shift. Everything that I'm struggling with, my struggle should be over. Say amen to this. Now, he said in verse 3, he said, I'll bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse you. And in thee all families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. So I'm not done just being blessed. I'm not done till I'm become a blessing to other people. Say amen to that. All right. So if I go back now and go all the way down to Genesis chapter 31. Now, this is when Jacob's got the blessing on him. Now, notice what he's got. He's working for Laban, but Laban is swindling him, cheating him out of everything he's got. Now, that's not supposed to happen to a blessed person. But in what's happening is Jacob is not putting any pressure on the blessing. He is not walking according to the blessing. He's still trying to bank on the system, trying to take care of him. But pretty soon he came to Laban. Laban said, now, wait a minute. I know we've had some problems. Matter of fact, I have cheated you out of your wages 10 times, but I'm going to do you a favor. What do you want? What do you want me to pay you? Here's what he told him. Don't pay me a thing. He said, what does the cattle and livestock that'll produce potted speckle and stripe, that'll be mine. Everything else will be yours. Here's what Laban said. I got this fool now. And what happened? He didn't know the blessing was about to kick in. So I'm saying, in your life, it looks like you are disadvantaged, but ain't no such thing as disadvantage with the people of the blessing. There is no disadvantage. Stop looking at your color. Stop looking at your background. Stop looking at the school you didn't go to. Stop looking at what people are recommending about you. Your recommendation comes from God. It's in this paper right here. If he recommends you for a job, you don't need to know nobody at City Hall. So what am I saying? Next thing you know, here he was, and he took everything. Look what it says in Genesis in chapter 31. It says in verse 1, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and was of our father's has he gotten all this glory, all this wealth. One of the translations say, so I'm telling you right now that the wealth came with because of this blessing that was on his life. So look what it says. I'm not not going to read those others. Let's go all the way, fast forward, all the way over to Genesis chapter 37. Because now we got the blessing, and this blessing is about to kick in again. But it's about to kick in on a man's life named Joseph. Say Joseph. Joseph. Now, Joseph is kind of a type of Jesus, if you will. Though notice what happened. First, Joseph had some dreams. It says here in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Look at verse 9, and Joseph dreamed yet another dream. Now, this is the blessing working in his life. Now, he told it to his brethren, and when he told the dream to his brethren got envious. So envious, they decided they're going to kill him, but they couldn't kill him because you can't kill a man who's walking in the blessing. Now, do you believe your preacher? And so what happened is now they threw him in a pit. Now, along come some Ishmaelites. Look what it says in Genesis 37 and verse 28. And there passed by Midian, and there passed by Midianite merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Now notice what happened. They merchantmen came. They drew him up out of the pit. Now understand, they threw him in this pit and it was hot as blazes out there in that desert. And the fact of the thing is, watch this, there was no water. Now your body can go for 40 days without food. But try to make it go 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days without water. Say amen to this. And I'm just saying, here was Joseph in a pit. They were going to leave him there. But here comes a caravan showing up. Watch this. Right at the right time. Now, I'm here to tell you that this blessing is working on Joseph. And it's working 24/7. So this blessing knew that they were going to throw him in a pit. So it started the caravan a month ago that happened to pass by that way at that time. I'm saying God knows everything the devil's about to do to you. And he started things working long before you got in trouble. But it looks like things are bad for you. But if you just hold on and don't get mad, don't get angry, don't get bitter, stop talking negative, watch the curse turn to the blessing. And I'm saying it'll happen to you every time. So now this group is under God's direction, and God is coordinating this caravan travel, and he coordinated them down, and now they lifted Joseph out, paid some money for him, and now they took him all the way down to Egypt. Now they took him down there and sold him to a wealthy, influential man who was an Egyptian and a captain in Pharaoh's army. So they sold him to him. So here is Joseph working for a man named Potiphar. And look what it says in verse 1. In Genesis chapter 39 in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with who? Joseph. And he was who? A prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So what this tells you is prosperity that God has planned for you had nothing to do with your salary. And I'm here to tell you right now, God will prosper you if they ain't paying you a dime. Because that's the power of the blessing. Say amen to that. And it says, verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, he put under Joseph's hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, what am I telling you now? I'm saying wherever you work, they're going to be blessed. And in this time, they understood the blessing, and those Egyptians knew what that blessing looked like. So during Joseph's generation, this Egyptian say, that blessing is on this man right here. Now, I'm going to put everything I have into his hand. Now, the revelation of that is the fact that, notice, when he put everything under Joseph's hand, he didn't know what was coming in, what was going out. He just trusted Joseph with it, and Joseph took care all of the things that needed to be taken care of in terms of provision. Notice, the only thing Potiphar's current concerned about is the plate that was on his table. When is my breakfast, my dinner going to be here? My point to you is, God never intended for you to get all caught up in provision and what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, how I'm going to pay these bills. He wants Jesus to take care of that. And you take care of your assignment, the assignment and the thing that God has called you to do. Say amen to that. So now what has happened is now Joseph is endued with this power for success. And notice, here comes Mrs. Potiphar. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Mrs. Potiphar coming. Well, what will sin do? Sin will dial down the blessing. Sin will dial down the blessing. Sin will make it so even though the blessing is on you, it won't function like it should. The Bible says if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You can confess your sin. God is faithful and just to what? Forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you can rise up again. So notice, they threw Joseph in jail. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21 and 22, and Joseph now got favor in jail, and Joseph took over the prison, that the jailer made Joseph the warden of the jail. And notice now, he's down there for life, that there was no hope in getting back, because you just unoffended a sister Potiphar, and she didn't told a lie on you, and now you're in jail. But the blessing is working, because Joseph is not down there talking about that Potiphar, that heifer, she got me down here in jail. Now, listen, you don't need to call no names. All you need to do is call his name, the name of Jesus. It's above every name. Well, you see what this is like. This is like a type of Christ, that he paid your sins and mine, that he didn't sin not once, but he took your sin. He was falsely accused. He was buried and lived in that tomb and down in that grave. And when he was down in there, he had to suffer for your price and my price. But I'm telling you, on the third day, God saw that the sin and penalty for sin have been paid, and he said, get him up, praise God. So I'm here to tell you right now that here is Joseph, and notice what happened, that Joseph was called to Potiphar. Why a Pharaoh? Why was he called a Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. Now, who do you think gave him the dream? God. The Bible says God is head over the heathen. That means he can command people to bring money to your house. That means, come on, you got to go with me now. He can command people to give you stuff. He can command somebody to come to work for you who never intended to work for you on your staff. He can open up doors for you. He can cause increase to come to you. I'm talking about heathen will give you stuff and they can't stand you and don't like your praise. But I'm here to tell you, just lift up the blessing and the blessing will lift you up. So what am I saying? I'm saying, look what happened to Joseph. Joseph kept meditating the blessing. He kept the blessing before him. When he went to bed at night, thought about the blessing. When he got up in the morning, thought about the blessing. Now, what has God promised? He said that not only will he command a blessing on you, but he said he's going to make you the head. I said he's going to make you the head. And so notice what happened. No matter what environment you went to, he went to Potiphar, he became the head. Come on. He went to jail, he became the head. Come on. Now he's talking about going up to Pharaoh. And because he told Pharaoh what the dream was, then Pharaoh put him in office in the government, and Joseph became the head over everybody that was down there. Say amen to that. So I'm just saying to you right now that God has a big plan for your life. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. He said this, and this is a type of Christ, and this is a type of your life. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, when a man took it and sowed in his field. Watch this. And indeed, it was the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herb and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge under the branches thereof. What am I talking about? Notice, Joseph was taken down there in obscurity. In other words, nobody knew him and nobody cared. He was the least among everything that was down in Egypt. But notice, when the blessing is on his life, God began to give supernatural increase. I said increase in wisdom. He had never went to ranch management school, yet he knew how to handle cattle and sell and buy sheep. Come on now. He had never experienced, I'm talking about some things you don't even have proficiency for, that the blessing gonna step in and give you the proficiency that you need. And notice, he said what he did is planting him in Egypt. Why? What does this scripture say here? It says that God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Glory to God. It's not only that you're going to let your light so shine in the midst of them, but you're about to transfer whatever is in there that belongs to the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. So I'm saying to you right now that it may look like you're going through something, but now that you got the knowledge of the blessing and you just give God praise for the blessing that is on your life, whatever you're doing and it's causing now look like you're at a disadvantage, just hold on to the blessing, because right now as I speak, it is starting to change. I said it's going to change to your favor. Come on. It may look like you broke like right now, but start giving praise to God, because now the blessing is about to kick in. Come on. It might look like your marriage is in trouble right now, but start giving God the praise, because whatever's missing, the blessing is going to supply. I'm saying this is your season, this is your year, and resurrection is coming to your life. Give God praise. Glory to God. Now, if you're here and you know you need to be born again, I want to get you saved. Now, whoever that is, realize what has happened. I have just preached to you the resurrection. I have just told you.